Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you can turn over to Ephesians 3:14, we've been talking about, or in a series that we've entitled Rooted and Grounded in Love. Rooted and Grounded in Love. We've been on this for some time. We can't possibly go back and review everything. These do build on one another. And so I encourage you to go back. If you've missed some, to go back and listen to them online. That's what those are there for. Praise God. Hey, Len, could you close that door, please? Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. This has been our text. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Hallelujah. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. We were talking earlier about our loved one going to be with the Lord, but he's in heaven. Hallelujah. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And this has been our text. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. And we've read this and talked about being rooted and grounded in love, that God is love. And when you're saying rooted and grounded in love, you're saying rooted and grounded in God and in his ways. How many of you want to be rooted and grounded in the Lord, not in something else? There isn't anything that you can really be grounded in today. Everything, and how many things have looked solid and then over time, you've lived long enough, you see it gets shaken and fades away. You can't put your faith in men's institutions, not in organizations, not in particular people, and not in philosophy or anything else. It has to be in the Lord. We have to be rooted and grounded in him. I mean, more than ever, things are just getting so whacked out in the world. People are going after things and all kinds of ideas and philosophies and even doctrines that are not based on the Lord. And we have to come back to being solid in him. And it does come back to just being rooted and grounded in love, both in how we behave and how we love each other, but like we've talked about, it all comes back to how we're loved by him. Because you really can't give something that you don't have. You can't give love. You can't really love somebody unless you know you're loved. And you can't truly love them unless you know you're loved by the Lord, because that's how we were created. We were created to react to that love and to let it flow through us. It's not something that you're supposed to generate. I'm going to love you. It's that God loves me, and I'm going to let that love flow right through me into you. You may run into somebody that you find unlovable, but God loves them. You know, somebody at some point may have found you unlovable, but God loved you. And he loved me before we were lovable. And so when you're looking, there's certain situations you say, I can't love that person. Well, you may not be able to in and of yourselves, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a supernatural love. We're talking about the love of the Most High God coming, and we're receiving that love. And as we receive that, we let it flow right through us to those around us. And that's supernatural. And that's how we are ought to, that's what we're supposed to be grounded in. More than anything, is that love. And so we've talked about different facets of that. I want to review a little bit where we were last week, and then we'll go a little bit further. So we read some of these scriptures. If you look at your sheet, John 13:34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And we touched on that and read some other scriptures, how it's not talking about what people consider spiritual is so many times not actually spiritual. It's not that certain things don't flow out of a relationship with God, but people will put more emphasis on other things, on things other than love. And that we read, I don't have time to recap that today, but you can listen to the last two messages. We talked about how walking in love is, the more you walk in love, the more mature you actually are. Because God is love. So the more you walk in love, the more godly you are. Well, what is spiritual if it's not being godly? You're yielding to your spirit when you're spiritual. Your spirit, the love of God, is shed abroad or poured out in your heart or your spirit. So the more you're yielding to love, the more you're yielding to your spirit, the more spiritual you are. That's what spiritual means. It's not so many things that people make up. Well, that guy's really spiritual. He fasts. Well, why is he fasting? You know, he may fast because he's trying to earn something with God. Well, then he's not actually spiritual. You know, you can't go by somebody. Well, that guy walks in the gifts of the Spirit. He must be really spiritual. Well, like we read in 1 Corinthians, you can do all that type of stuff, and if you're not doing it by love, it means nothing. So no, being spiritual is walking in love. And verse 35 here says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." This is the telltale sign that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have love. And not just, and we talk about love, we're talking about the supernatural love of God. Supernatural. James 2:8 said, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. If you really fulfill the royal law, we talked about that several times, messages ago, that walking in love is the fulfillment of the law. The Bible says it in a different place. That if you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. But this is what Jesus told us to do. This is what should be preeminent in our lives. And we focused on that the last couple weeks. You know, we talked about this love just overflowing. That this love should just overflow. In other words, it's not something that you're trying to generate. It's that the love of God is just poured in you, and you just have to let other people experience. You have to love other people. Why? Because you're so full of it. You're full of God's love. And then last year we were talking about that this walking in love should be above all. In other words, in your house, the number one guiding principle ought to be, if we have a Christian household, that we walk in love above anything. In other words, there should be some times, and there will be some times, that maybe you want to say something, but because you are dedicated to the fact that we are going to walk in love in this household, you don't say it. Because you know if you say it, it's going to cause strife, it's going to cause the peace to leave and unrest to be there. You're going to cause somebody to have heartache, and so you are not going to let that happen, and you keep your mouth shut. That's good. Why? Because love ought to be the goal. Are you with me? Yes. The goal. So many times we say, I don't care, I'm putting this aside, you You deserve to hear what I have to say, and you're going to hear it now. And you know as well as I do, you can put aside what you really believe. If you're yielding to your flesh, you can put Jesus aside for a second. Like somebody said, I don't know how some people do, some things they do. They say, what, do they just leave Jesus on the outside and say, I'm going in to do this thing, this sin or whatever? No, we ought not to do that. God is with us. We ought to be conscious of the fact that He's with us and in us. And if we're all born again, and born again in your household, then He's with them too. And He's their child. And sometimes, if we'd keep that in mind, that would help right there. The thing you're about to say, you're saying to a child of God. There are certain things that, you know, if you some dignitary or whatever, if you found out somebody was their child, even if this kid was acting out of order and you knew whose child it was, you may not say certain things. Because you're like, I'm not going to do it. Why? In honor of this person. You know? If we would just keep in mind that who we're talking to is actually a child of God, that would help so much right there. We would say, well, I ought not, because out of respect for the Lord, I'm not going to say that. Out of respect for God, because you're His child, you may be acting ugly, but I'm not going to say anything about it, because I'm going to walk in love with you. Is that easy all the time? No. Nobody said it was easy, but we can do it because God told us to do it. So he said that's the royal law. This is what some of these scriptures right here we touched on last week, 1 Peter 4:8 and 9. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Above how many things? All things. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. How many of us, we know this? Look, you can nitpick every little thing about somebody. That's not going to go well. Does anybody in here, maybe you do, maybe you're different. Can anybody raise their hand and say, I love to be nitpicked? Man, I love when somebody just points out every little thing I do wrong. Can you raise your hand? No, none of us like that. Most of us, we have a tendency to judge ourselves by our intentions, and everybody else by what they actually do. And so when somebody's picking out something at you, you're like, I know, but I'm trying, right? I meant to do such, I know I missed it, but I meant to do this. Right? And we got to keep it in mind when we're dealing with other people. If we'll just give the other person a break, probably like we want a break, and assume that they probably are doing the best they can, well, they meant to do it right. It just wasn't enough this time, but I'm going to cut them slack. It's amazing how far that will go. Amen. Has anybody, this really comes into play in driving. Everybody thinks they're the best driver and everybody else is the worst driver, but it can't be so, because we're all driving, and it's that guy that, if you cut in front of somebody, it was like, oh, I didn't see you, man. I just meant to be there. But if somebody else cuts you off, you idiot. What, did you see me here? What's going, right? But if you did, hey, don't lay off the horn. I didn't mean to. I didn't see. I just, right? Well, when we're living with one another, it's kind of the same thing. Somebody does something and they didn't mean to, but it's like, what do you didn't do it again. I meant to, but when you do it, well, I meant, hey, I'm trying. Give me a break. I'm doing my best. Lay off, right? But then if we're back slapping their hand every time they get out of line, it's not going to be good. Two people are living together, every time this person does one thing wrong, the other person gets on their case, and every time the other person does something wrong, they get on their case, so it's just constantly, how many of you know nobody lives perfect? So that means every time we do anything, I'm not talking about even something deadly wrong, I'm saying you just didn't live up to the standard of perfection. Didn't put something away, didn't clean something, didn't turn something off. If you're going to let the other person know every time that happens, it's going to be a long life. Let alone a day or week. I mean, it's just going to be miserable. Because you know, if you get out of line one little bit and you know you're going to, you're going to hear about it. And then you just get to the point where, okay, whatever. Right? No, you're going to hear about it again. Okay. And then what? What do you want to do? You want to let them hear about it. What does that turn into? Yep. Just... Does it have to be like that? No. Does God just tell us this, just kind of just put this standard out there and say, good luck with it? There's no way you people will ever be able to do it, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. That's a good goal, but you're never going to be able to do it. He didn't say it. He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another. He's telling us to actually do this. Right? Now, I'm not saying anything that probably everybody in here has not heard. It's not about hearing it. You could have 50 MP3s or CDs or even tapes or whatever at home on the subject of love. It does no good if we don't actually love the people, especially in our household, in our church, whatever. Well, yeah, I've seen that scripture. Yeah, I've seen that scripture. You know, my relationships are wrecked, but I know this. No, we don't know it. You know what we know? We know what we do. Do we know that? We know what we do. And if we say we know something, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to get on their case, but here I go. Next time they get out of line, I'm going to get on their case. Yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do it. Guess what? It does us no good. We might as well not, quote unquote, know it, because we don't know it. We've just heard it. And there's a whole big difference between hearing something and knowing it and doing it. I remember when I was, I guess I was 15, because where we were, you got a driver's license when you're 16. And you got a learner's permit when you're 15. And, you know, we took the driver's ed class. Anybody else? I don't know what they have out here. But we took a driver's ed. I don't know how many weeks it was. It was in the summer. And we go for a few hours on a morning. I don't know how many days in the week at a school. And we were in this... It wasn't even a classroom. I think it was this old thing that was dedicated to it. You go and you learn all the rules and everything. And then they had this simulator where you sit there and, you know, and this is old school. I mean, this is like a film coming, and then you got the steering wheel. And if, you know, you run over the guy on the bike, then it blinks at you or whatever. And you're supposed to, this is supposed to help you know how to drive. And... how many of you know that I don't care how many hours you spend in front of that film, in that simulator, it is not the same as actually driving a car? Do we know that?
Yes.
I remember talking to my mom, and I'm embarrassed to say it. I mean, I was driving, and she was like telling me, no, you don't do this. I said, I've been taking the class. I know what to do. And my mom's been driving for how many years? And I'm like, you know, how stupid. But, no, doing the simulator, reading about something, hearing something, is not the same as actually doing it. And Christians, we all know, the world knows, we're supposed to love one another. We know, I'm pointing to a sheep, but we know what the Bible says, right? You don't have to come to church. Everybody knows, or should know, you're supposed to be nice. We learn this like in preschool or kindergarten. Be nice to the people around you. It doesn't make any difference if we know what we're supposed to do and we don't actually do it. Now, the difference between what the world will tell you about this and Christianity is that Christians, we actually have the Spirit of the living God inside us, like we talked about. He has been given to us and poured out in our hearts to help us do this. So that's different. And He tells us, the Bible tells us to do this, but then God gave us His Spirit to help actually do it. So we can actually have the type of life that we all know is in the Bible, and actually get along and love one another and have the very thing that the world is making up all kinds of methods and philosophies and ways of trying to make it happen, and we've seen how that's turned out. People get divorces left and right. People, families are crumbling. But, you know, they're following these so-called newest methods of doing something. And they're not. If they're not God, they're not going to help. But as Christians, we actually have God inside of us to help us do this. And God told us here that this is supposed to be above all. He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. In the New Living Translation, he said in 1 Peter 4:8, most important of all. Does that make it any more clear? Most important. Number one. Number one. The most important thing. Continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we can hear this morning and say, yes, I know, Pastor. Yes, I know. I've heard this. Yes, I know. But I just can't do it. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. And if we buy that and say, I know, I've tried, but it just doesn't work. You don't know my spouse, or you don't know my brother, you don't know my sister, you don't know my dad, whatever, we're buying a lie. Because God never told us to do something that we can't do. And so the good news is this morning is that we can actually do this. So right now, for the rest of this time, if you came in here and as you've heard this, you say, no, I can't do that. I've heard that, but I can't do it. It doesn't work. That's a lie. So you have a choice right now to go out of here and keep buying that and say, I can't do it. I'm helpless, or I just can't love this person. Or we can take the word at face value and say, I have the power to do it, and I'm coming up today. I'm going to change. Now, what do I do? And it's a decision that we can do it. In and of ourselves? No. But we can do it. If God said something is the most important thing, the most important, do you think he said, and you know, it's the most important, but you're on your own here. Now these other little things I'll help you out with, but the most important, you're going to have to figure it out yourself, buddy. Good luck. He didn't do that. Don't you think the most important thing that he's given you the ability to do it if he's just? Now, we talked about this a little bit in a different way, but if your employer said, this is the absolute most important thing on your job, everything else is secondary. This is the most important, but we're not giving you any tools to do it. You have to come up with a way to do it on your own. That would be unjust. If in school your teacher told you this is the most important test, we are not going to tell you anything that's on it. It's the most important one. The other ones, we're going to give you plenty of study guides, but your most important grade, 50% of it, good luck, buddy. You just have to figure out what it is. Would that be fair? No. Do you think God is unjust? Do you think that's what he does? No, he doesn't. This is the most important, and he said, I've given you the ability to do it. So this is good news. This is good news, because if we take him at his word, and believe me, this takes faith to walk in it, you have to believe, because your faith is going to be tested. If we just think, because we heard the word, and we can see this now, that when I get home, all the problems are going to be gone, we are wrong. It takes faith you have to believe that God actually meant what he said there, and then when you're faced with this circumstance and faced with this person that you don't want to love, or your spouse is saying something and you just want to give it to him, you are going to have to walk in faith not to do it. And it doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter that you don't feel like you did in church and you feel good now and you can see it, but now, man, they said that and there's just no way I can keep from saying it. That is a lie. Hallelujah. That's good news, because if that's a lie, that means I actually can do it. Now, I may not do it perfect, but that means that I can start changing my response. I can start changing my thinking to say, wait a minute, this is actually the most important thing. this is actually what I'm supposed to be focusing on. I may be doing these other things right, but this is actually the most important. Now I'm going to put some focus on it. I'm going to put some effort on it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to believe that what the Lord said I could do, I can do. And don't, this takes, you know, we talk about faith for healing. We talk about, you know, faith for signs or faith for finances. I'll tell you what, you start exercising your faith in the area of your love walk and you'll see your life change dramatically. When you don't, when you want to say something and you think you can't help it, start believing God that you can help it. And it will change. Well, I just can't love that person. Nope, but God said I can, so I'm going to change. And you'll see it. You'll see a change. That's faith. You don't wait till you feel like loving them. That's walking by sight. That's the same as waiting till you feel good before you believe you're healed. It's the same as believing, you know, God hasn't supplied all my needs because I don't see it yet. That's the same thing. Well, I don't feel like I love you, so I must not. Lie. Walking by sight. Same thing here. I don't feel like I love you, but I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you. I don't care what you do because I'm supposed to do it. It's my most important thing, so I'm going to love you. Yeah. Try me. Now, you maybe don't want to say that, but you want to walk in love. Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as God forgave you, so you must also must do. But above these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We were hitting this at the end of the service last week. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. It says if anyone has a complaint against each other. Has anybody ever felt like you had a complaint against somebody? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, I think everybody in here felt at one point like you had a complaint against somebody. And you probably thought, and this is a pretty valid complaint too. I bet you God is totally on my side. And I'm just in saying it. And in fact, I believe I will. This is where we go wrong a lot of times. But what does he say here? If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do it if you feel like it. Is that what it says? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Because it's the number one thing. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Look at it in the NIV, Colossians 3:14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Over all these virtues, put on love. What does it mean when you put on something? Does that imply that you're doing something on purpose? Does your coat jump on your body when it's cold outside? When you're walking by, it knows whether it's cold and it just jumps on and then you're ready to go. Maybe they will do that in the future, but today they don't. So when you go, if it's cold like it is today and I'm going towards the door, if I don't put on my coat, I'm going out the door and I'm going to be cold when I get outside, right? So I have to purpose that I'm going to put on something, that I'm going to put on my coat, right? Well, it's the same thing with love. If you think it's just going to be automatic, that you're going to go out into life or you're going to go into a situation where you've had trouble before and I don't have to do anything, I'm just going to walk into it and automatically if I need love, it'll just be there. I'll just say the right thing because it'll just automatically, the right thing will come out of my house. That's not true. My mouth. I said, you have to put on love. And so you go into a situation. You know what? It does help. This helps. If you determine what you're going to say before the situation, that helps. If you'll say, if this person says something, next time they do that, this is how I'm going to respond. Now, I know the last 18 times or more, I've responded this way, and I know how that turned out. So this time, I am going to respond in love this way. And if you premeditate it a little bit, you know, you think about it, you say, this is the way I ought to respond in that situation. I know they're probably going to do this. And when they do that, I'm not going to say what I'd like to say. I'm not going to say anything. If you'll do that beforehand, then when you actually get there, it will help you. And say it out loud. Get by yourself and say, this is the way I'm going to act. If you say it out your mouth, there's something about saying it that your body and your mind is committing to something. And you say, I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to respond. I'm going to respond this way. When they do that, I'm going to respond this way. And you go in, it's like you're armed. You're ready. You're not just going in and you just get knocked on the side of your head. You're going in, you're ready. And so when it comes, say, here we go. Here's the pitch. I see it coming. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to smile at you and say, act like I didn't even see that. Now, don't think that just because you prepared that it's going to be easy. No, you're going to still feel like, I want to say it. I really want to say this. But I'm not. You're going to be tempted. Your flesh wants to go. But you don't. Guess what? You just made it through. Now, the next time you go in that situation, you know what? It's going to be easier. Now, they say something. You say, I did this before. Here I go again. Oh, I made it. And then you just do that. Now you're creating a new habit. You're not saying something that you want to say. And then you could do it the other way. You know what? I'm going to go in, and when I see them, even though I don't feel like complimenting them, I'm going to say something. Hey, I love you, or hey, that was a great meal, or what? I'm going to do it. Even though usually I'm like, what, you cooked that again? What? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go in and I'm going to say something nice, and here's what it's going to be. And so now you come in and you're ready, and you say what you purpose to say, and they say, yeah, whatever, you're probably saying. Now you have a choice. You can respond to what they said. You were trying to be nice, and now they didn't even receive your niceness. Now you're ready to go back. And maybe you miss it there. But then you can go in and say, and if they say that, even if they don't like what I have to say, here's what's going to be my response. And however deep you think you need to go, 5, 6 times response, whatever, you think they're going to come back and not listen to what you're going to say, not be nice to you, you already have purpose. I don't care if they do it 15 times. I'm gonna still say, no, that was great. I love it. Thanks for that meal. It was great. And I'm gonna stay there. And you make it through that, now you're creating a new habit. Now you're creating a new path. Now things can start. How does it change? That's how it changes. Not because you felt like doing it. Not because you felt all warm and fuzzy. Because you put on love, you purposed to do something different. Amen. Can we do that? God says we can do it. He said to put on love. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's not something that we just go, boy, yeah, I'm just ready to go do that. But if we know the result, how are we going to get the results we want if we don't change what we're doing now? And I'm not saying, it doesn't matter where you are in life. Your relationship could be great right now with your spouse or your children. Let me ask you a question. Can it be better? Yeah. We can always be better. So no matter where we are, we could say, hey, I want to make it even better. I mean, if we're scraping the bottom right now, anything that we can do to smooth it is going to be better. But don't ever buy the lie that it's just too far gone. That's a lie. Because if behavior changes, if we start letting that love dominate us and make it the number one thing, we can start changing the interactions before pretty soon it's smooth. And now it can get even better. And now it can get even better. And we can come up. But it's not going to just happen. It's not going to just, because we heard it, because we read a few scriptures and say, well, now my life's going to be great and I'm going to have this great relationship because I've heard the word. It doesn't work that way. We have to just let the love of God that's inside of us come out and say or not say the things that would line up with love, even if our emotions and our feelings don't want us to do that. Even when we feel like saying something or not saying something or giving them the cold shoulder, the thing that we have done and done over and over, even if we feel like doing that same thing, if we'll stop and just make a little adjustment and go over here, we've just changed potentially the course of everything. Now the next time we come to that same crossroads, if we'll just go over here, now we can start loosening up our relationship to where now we're getting along. Do you believe we can go down a different path? Absolutely. Do you believe we can go higher wherever we are? Yeah. Do you believe our relationships can get even higher, that we make this the number one thing? We kind of went that direction again and reiterated that, but that if God said we could do this, that if we put it on purposefully and don't expect it to be opposite or automatic and don't expect it just to change by itself, but we purpose in our heart to let it dominate our life and let it be the number one thing, to put it on, that it can be different. Amen. God is good.